Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com.
Come on.
And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Let's go. All right, very good. Great to be with you. Man, I'm in a good mood. Praise the Lord. Jesus is King. God is on the throne. He's still ruling the universe with his feet up. And there, believe it or not, there's actually good news stories out there. And we're going to spend the whole hour today. I'm just going to take you through one good story after another. Good stuff going on. Sometimes it's good because of the backdrop of bad and darkness, which is kind of the norm these days. But we're going to work our way through it. So we're going to talk to my good friend Sharon Dooley here in just a second, who is a sidewalk counselor, a missionary with Love Life. Some great success that God has brought those efforts. It's not like a recent thing, but you usually don't hear about that. We lament. We cry. We're out there every Saturday. Sharon's out there a lot more than that. Just a great sidewalk warrior and counselor, and now a missionary with Love Life, our good friends at Love Life, lovelife.org. I'll be back there out at the clinic tomorrow. So we're going to talk to her, and then these other stories I'm going to work through. And then at the bottom of the hour, after the 4:30 break, we're going to talk to Dr. Michael Brown, Line of Fire. If you're listening on Truth Radio Network and some other stations, you heard him right before this show. Brilliant Messianic Jew, PhD, travels the world. So we're going to talk to him about this historic accord between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. There's a lot going on there. So a lot to talk about today, but we're just going to stay in positive land. This is like the Steve Noble version of K-Love, I guess. So we're just going to stay there and today and excited for that, but really excited to talk to my good friend Sharon Dooley and just somebody that's a warrior and a hero of not only mine, but a lot of people and a great example for all of us. Sharon, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. What a wonderful intro.
How about that? Well, you're easy to intro and easy to tell people about. So let's just kind of tell people a little bit about your journey into sidewalk counseling and then what that looks like, kind of what you're dealing with all the time. And then let's focus on a couple of these great things that the Lord has done recently, especially that 14-year-old girl.
Yes. Well, I just want to encourage everybody. 5 years ago, I walked up to the clinic shaking and terrified and horrified at what I saw. And over the years, especially being with Bishop Wooden, a special friend of yours and my pastor, I've really learned how to handle that out there and how to, you know, interact with people. It's been an amazing experience, and I certainly hope that more people will join us. But this last week, we had an interesting situation. You mentioned the 14-year-old girl. And her story, now most people would tell her, go ahead and abort the baby. You're 14. You know, she didn't have anything going for her. Her mother brought her down. Her father was apparently just diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. They had numerous people in their family recently pass away, just so much bad news, and now their 14-year-old daughter turns up pregnant. And the mom said the mom didn't really want an abortion for her, but the young lady would not speak to her at all. Mm-hmm. And the mom said she got up that morning, and she just knew. She said God told her, somebody's going to be there for you. Her words were, somebody's going to be there to stop this.
Wow.
And she made the two-hour drive down to where we're at, a woman's choice of Raleigh. And as soon as she pulled up, I think our team that day was six people, and at least half the team to that car.
Yeah.
And, you know, people were in and out of the window talking to her, loving on her, sharing different points of view. And our friend Tabitha ended up getting in the car and driving over to a pregnancy center, which is right close by, and she chose life. And the thing is, she came out of the ultrasound room. She had not spoken a word. She came out of the ultrasound room with the biggest smile you ever saw and went straight into Tabitha's arms.
Wow.
And, hey, we're going to have a baby come March. And here, you know, the takeaway from this right? The takeaway from this is, like, you know, you hear of all these situations where everything seems to be against that baby and that mom. And God always has another plan if you would just listen.
That's right.
And this was one of those beautiful examples of, you know what, I know it was bad and everything, but it is going to be just fine.
Yeah.
And we're terribly excited for her.
Yeah, and it was amazing. I shared that story, Sharon, with my wife, Gina, who's been out there before. She and Caroline were out there recently, our daughter, who's 15. And when I told Caroline, there's this 14-year-old girl was pregnant and ended up choosing life. You could just tell by the look on her face, she didn't know how to kind of compute that, because that's a year younger than our youngest daughter. And it's just shocking to know that happens. But you mentioned, you know, they call it a woman's choice, that the abortion clinic in Raleigh and Drake Circle, where we see each other often. And of course, the only choice that they care about, the only choice that makes them any money, is to kill the baby and collect the fee. How do you kind of handle, we got a couple minutes left, how do you kind of handle the fact that it's usually death? It's usually darkness, but every once in a while we see things like this happen. How do you kind of get through that as a follower of Christ? And of course, you're at an awesome church with Bishop Wood and my slightly older brother from another mother. But how do you handle it individually as a believer? How do you handle that, Sharon?
Well, I know we're kind of going to my wrap up that I was hoping to give you before the wrap up. But, you know, we're kind of involved in a ministry of rejection. This is a ministry where you don't see a lot of people back away from the edge of the cliff. We know that. We come in knowing that, you know, people are determined to do things, you know, for whatever reason. But our job, the way we see it, the way Bishop has taught us, we have an assignment, and the outcome belongs to the Lord.
That's right.
And so we go there. And we say what we need to say. We tell them about the Lord, the humanity of the baby, the abundance of resources. And we're not there to protest or to slander or, you know, anything like that. We're there to show them that truly, killing the baby is not their only choice and certainly not the best choice. And so, you know, for instance, with the gentleman that you had last week with the white shirt.
Yep, that's right.
Do we have time to mention him?
No, we're up against a break, but we'll do it again, Sharon. Don't worry about that. We'll have you back on, and we'll keep talking about this. And I guess I'll probably see you tomorrow, huh?
Oh, yeah, I'll be there. We'll see you then.
Amen. God bless you, Sharon. We appreciate you. Thanks for sharing today.
Thanks.
We appreciate it. You're welcome. We'll be right back, folks. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to hear from Sharon, that 14-year-old girl choosing life, whether they keep the baby and raise it or there's an adoption there. Praise the Lord for that. That is awesome. And like Sharon said, like Bishop Wooden says, hey, you have an assignment and that's a dark assignment. It's difficult. She said that Bishop Wooden talks about the you're called to an assignment, and it's a ministry of rejection. The gospel is a ministry of rejection. But she also said, hey, we're called to be faithful. And I just want to share this with my friends on Facebook Live, because we continue to talk, kind of a sidebar conversation during the break. So if you're on radio and you want to be in the studio, just go to Facebook Live. If you check out the podcast later, or if you watch Facebook Live later, that's awesome. We can get stuff pretty much whenever we want to these days. The show's podcast, and we're on Facebook Live, live right now, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time. Just remember, you're called, our job, our assignment is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Fruitfulness is God's deal. We need to stay on our side of the equation. So if you decide to go pray at a clinic, I'm just using this as an example. This works across the board. When you make the decision to go, you're going to be blessed for your faithfulness. When you're in the car going, you're going to be blessed. When you get there, you're going to be blessed. When you walk there, you're going to be blessed. When you get up there, you're going to be blessed. When you start praying and you start interceding and you just have a ministry of presence, you will be blessed. God will always bless your faithfulness. And then what he does with that is his business. And sometimes he shows us, and most of the time, I think for me anyway, he doesn't. But I know in my faithfulness, there's a blessing. So if you want to come join us, Love Life is in many different locations. Go to lovelife.org and you can come out on Saturdays. We're out there. We pretty much get started right around 9. But I'm telling you, there's always a blessing in faithfulness. We're going to talk to Dr. Michael Brown after the bottom of the hour about this huge historic you want to call it a treaty, whatever you want to call it, Israel and United Arab Emirates to normalize relations in a shift in Mideast politics. Israel and the United Arab Emirates announced on Thursday, this is huge, by the way, that they will normalize diplomatic ties and forge a brand new relationship, a move that reshapes the order of Middle East politics from the Palestinian issue to the fight against Iran under the accord, which U.S. President Donald Trump helped broker. This is from Reuters. Israel agreed to suspend its planned annexation of areas of the occupied West Bank. It also firms up opposition to the regional power Iran, which is really what this is all about, which is why Iran and Turkey are ticked off. If Iran and Turkey are ticked off in the Middle East, you're doing something right. Okay, that's the point here. And so you see this normalization, and this is probably going to cascade. You're going to see, and Trump's already talking about that, that there's some other things that they're working on. Nobody really even knew about this until it broke yesterday. But this is a big deal. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, however, rejected the accord. Good. That's a good sign. Because what they're realizing is peace in the Middle East and dealing with Israel. Israel's not going anywhere, right? Until God's done with all this stuff, Israel's not going anywhere. So do you want to play around with the Shiite Muslims and the Islamitization of the entire Middle East through people like Iran and now Turkey? No. And these guys want to thrive. They want peace. They want normalization. And so they're getting on the side against Iran. This is massive. But like we'll talk about with Dr. Brown at the bottom of the hour after the 4:30 break, will this be a lasting peace? Nope. There ain't going to be any lasting peace in the Middle East until Jesus does it. But this is a big deal. It really is a big deal. Some people will take this to eschatology. If you want to do that, that's fine. As we move towards the end times, I certainly think things seem to be speeding up. Do they not? So that's awesome news. Okay, that's a good story there. We'll talk to Michael Brown at the bottom of the hour. The Justice Department, another thing on Iran, another good story, because we're just doing good stories today. Isn't that great? Believe it or not, the Justice Department on Friday announced the U.S. government's largest ever seizure of fuel shipments from Iran and a successful disruption of a multi-million dollar shipment by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, a designated foreign terrorist organization that was bound for, wait for it, on the heels of our socialism conversation earlier this week, bound for Venezuela. The Justice Department on Friday said it had successfully executed the seizure order and confiscated the cargo from all four vessels, which totaled approximately 1.1 million barrels of petroleum. Justice Department credited the success of the U.S. government, but also the assistance of foreign partners. Earlier this month, federal investigators obtained warrants to seize Iranian oil products aboard four tankers bound for Venezuela in violation of U.S. sanctions. Profits from the shipments are allegedly intended to support terrorism and a full range of nefarious activities, you think? Because it's Iran. So that's a great story. That's good news. Have you heard it? Did you hear that anywhere? Probably not. Why? Because that one guy's involved. So we can't talk about, anything good for Trump is bad for America. Got to remember that, right? Here's another one. This is a good story. I'm thrilled about this one. Durham probe ex-FBI lawyer to plead guilty in first criminal case arising from review, sources say. Wow, really? That's about time. I hope this is the first of many. Former FBI lawyer Kevin Kleinsmith will plead guilty to making a false statement in the first criminal case arising from U.S. Attorney John Durham's review of the investigation into links between Russia and the 2016 Trump campaign. Two sources close to the matter tell Fox News. Specifically, the inspector general accused Kleinsmith, though not by name, of altering an email about former Trump campaign advisor Carter Page to say that he was not a source for another government agency. Flat out lie. Page has said he was a source for the CIA. The DOJ relied on that assertion as it submitted a third. Now, listen, this is all part of this nightmare. A third and final renewal application in 2017 to eavesdrop on Page under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. That's FISA. His attorney, Justin Scherr, told the Associated Press, quote, Kevin deeply regrets having altered the email. I hope so. It was never his intent to mislead the court or his colleagues. What? As he believed the information he relayed was accurate. Then why alter the email? But Kevin understands that what he did was wrong and accepts responsibility. Wow, that's countercultural. President Trump, noting the case at the top of a Friday press conference, called the individual corrupt and predicted the charge is just the beginning. The fact is, he said, they spied on my campaign and they got caught, and you'll be hearing more. The Justice Department's charging document stated that Kleinsmith, quote, did willfully and knowingly make and use a false writing and document, knowing the same to contain a material false, fictitious, and fraudulent statement an entry in a matter before the jurisdiction of the executive branch and judicial branch of the government of the United States. This is massive, by the way. I don't know that most people understand the depths of the depravity of the Department of Justice being involved with this. This is borderline coup activity. Okay? So Hannity and all that stuff, you hear all that stuff for years. That's a coup. It's a silent coup. No, this is pretty much what it is. The document said he altered another official June 17 email to say Page, referred to as individual number one, was not a source when the original email did not contain those words. The filing said another official took Kleinsmith's altered email, relied on it, and signed and submitted the renewed FISA application, which is the secret FISA court so you can spy on U.S. citizens. That's a big deal. The development Friday comes amid much speculation and even a tip-off by Barr, who said on Fox News' Hannity that there would be, quote-unquote, a development in the investigation, teasing that it wouldn't be earth-shattering, but would be, quote, an indication that things are moving along at the proper pace as dictated by the facts in this investigation. There are two different things going on, Barr said. I said the American people need to know what actually happened. We need to get the story of what happened in 2016 and 17 out. That will be done. He also said if people cross the line, if people involved in that activity violated criminal law, they will be charged. How long have you waited? How long have I waited to see people in orange suits involved with all of this? So maybe, God willing, we'll actually see some justice roll down like a river. Wouldn't that be nice? Wow. Okay, when we come back, hopefully we're going to hear from Dr. Michael Brown in the line of fire. Talk a little bit, he's an expert, a Messianic Jew himself, about this big move in the Middle East, what it means from a biblical perspective, and then some more good news after that. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. And just focusing on, believe it or not, there's actually some good things going on out there today. So we're focusing on that. I've toyed around with doing Fridays, just making Fridays all positive stories as we go into the weekend. So I've got more to get through. We're trying to see if Dr. Michael Brown can call in and join us for a little bit. In the line of fire, Dr. Michael Brown, brilliant theologian. Does a lot of tours in the Middle East. He's a Messianic Jew himself, so he's got great knowledge and a great perspective on that. So he was going to try to call in here at the early part of this third segment. So I'm keeping an eye on the phone lines, and we'll see when Dr. Brown calls in, and then we'll jump right over to that. And hopefully he'll have the time. He's very, very busy. So we'll do that. And then while we wait, here's another one. Okay, I've got, let's see, one, two, three, four, five more stories. And personally, I'm going to save the one that made me smile the most for last. And if you know me and you hear me get to this story last, you'll know why I'm excited about it. Even though there is a downside to it. And the downside to that particular story is the fact that I live in North Carolina, which is run by essentially a socialist. So, but setting that aside, how about this? This shocked me. Fauci says there's no reason Americans can't vote in person in November. What? Are you kidding? That's a problem. That's a problem for people on the left that would love to see more and more, if not exclusively, mail-in voting. That's a problem, right? So I'll get to that one because there's some interesting aspects, some interesting points to consider there. But on the line right now, Dr. Michael Brown, the line of fire, who's just a great expert, a great brother in Christ, great on the radio, pretty much great at everything. Michael, is there anything you're bad at?
You get a long list from my wife, I'm sure. let's start with gardening. Start with practical wisdom around the house. Remembering yes. Remembering to lock the doors, things like that. Yeah, there's a list.
All right, good. It's good to know that. All right, so this is obviously a huge development that broke yesterday. United Arab Emirates and Israel coming to the agreement. We haven't seen anything like that in 26 years. So help us to understand, Dr. Brown, how important is this? How monumental is it? What does it mean to the Middle East? And then let's wrap up real quick because I know you got to go. Kind of the eschatological biblical perspective on it.
All right. So just in truly natural terms, it's momentous. It is historic. As you mentioned, how long it's been. So the previous treaty with Jordan and before that, 1979 with Egypt. So this is only the third time that one of these surrounding Muslim nations has made a formal recognition of Israel and entered into formal relations with them. And let's remember that the Egypt Treaty has stood, even though there have been ups and downs, and the Jordan Treaty has stood. So it's historic, it's momentous. The vast majority of Israelis, from what I understand, are excited about it and positive as well. And it is something really brokered by the Trump administration. There are even the possibilities of other nations like Bahrain joining in as well and following suit. And what it means is that Israel has not had to surrender land for peace, which has never worked well. Any surrender they've made has just brought them more war and attack. What they've done is postpone the controversial annexation of areas of Judea Samaria, which are known as the West Bank. So maybe this was a political ploy to say we're going to do this, and then to say, well, we'll delay it. But either way, it hasn't been canceled. It's been postponed. And what's happened is pretty much United Arab Emirates and perhaps other Middle Eastern nations are saying we are more concerned with the common enemy of Iran and we'd rather bury our hostility with Israel. They're both economic strong powers in the Middle East and the world, UAE and Israel. So now they can work together to help one another economically. That's positive. And they can stand against a common, very dangerous enemy in Iran. Remember, Iran is a Sunni opposing state. It is primarily Shiite Islam and radically so. United Arab Emirates, like the Saudis and others, are Sunni strongholds. The civil war in Syria is a lot of Sunni versus Shia. The same with the civil war in Yemen, Sunni versus Shia. So you've got kind of the Saudi Arabian coalition against Iran and those working with them. And they're saying, hey, we'd rather have Israel as our friend. The yeah. enemy of our enemy is our friend. So it's really big on all fronts.
Yeah, and when you've got the Palestinian Liberation Organization and Turkey and Iran upset in terms of stability in the Middle East, that's a good direction. You want to hear that. That's positive. From a biblical perspective, and I heard you say this earlier on your show on the Line of Fire, and I think this is so important to remember. I've said this for years, Michael, that people go, peace in the Middle East, peace in the Middle East. I always say, listen, there's not going to be any lasting peace in the Middle East until Jesus establishes it himself. But from an eschatological perspective, an end times perspective, should this kind of pique our interest, and what does it do for you as a minister of the gospel?
Well, on the one hand, I want to be very careful about date setting because I came to faith in 71 as a heroin-shooting, LSD-using 16-year-old Jewish hippie rock drummer, and we were told Jesus is coming at any minute, and all the prophecies have fallen into place, and Jerusalem is just back in Jewish hands, and it looked good. It looked like this was it. And that was 1971. So I want to be careful about that. And even if you think of the peace treaty with Egypt, that was 1979. So on the one hand, we don't want to overdo this. But to me, this is another indication of how a 1 Thessalonians 5 could fall into place when everyone's saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes. It's pointing towards something that is foreshadowing or foreshadowed in Ezekiel 38 and 39, where Israel is pictured as dwelling in unwalled cities. So how could it be that these barriers will be taken down? There has to be some type of very serious, major regional peace. When that happens on that level, then we know the end is pretty near. If it even gets to the point where something is brokered, the Joel Richardson theory of an Islamic Antichrist, that he will broker a deal with Israel, that Israel can rebuild the third temple in the place of the Dome of the Rock. If we get to that point, man, the Savior, the Son of Man, must be right near at the door. Yeah. I mean, because these things have never happened in history.
That's right.
The other thing that's interesting is that God does speak of the Arab nations coming to the Messiah, coming to faith. He even explicitly speaks of Egypt and Iraq. So if there can be a natural peace, we look forward to the day when there'll be a spiritual peace.
Yeah, really amazing, and that it's happening in our days and right before our very eyes, in the backdrop of all the darkness and confusion that we see worldwide. We just praise the Lord that His promises are yes and amen, and we can all go to bed every night remembering that. That should give us that peace that surpasses understanding and give us a great witness to a world that's lost and dying. Dr. Michael Brown, God bless you, brother. Thank you so much for calling in today. I really appreciate it.
My joy. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Absolutely. We're going to have Dr. Brown on coming up about a week from Monday. We're going to be talking about his new book about Donald Trump. I'm excited for that. Thanks, Dr. Brown. Have a great weekend.
All right. God bless.
Yep. God bless you, too. Thanks. And that's we're going to be talking about that. The name of that book, I have the PDF. I'm working my way through it. Evangelicals at the Crossroads. Evangelicals at the Crossroads. Will we pass the Trump test? Fascinating title, right? So Evangelicals at the Crossroads, Will We Pass the Trump Test? We're going to be talking to Dr. Brown. We'll walk through that book. That's not this coming Monday, but it's Monday, August 24th, so we're going to get to that. Okay, so excited for that and excited for what God continues to do around the world. Okay, let's go back to this story, this good news story. This is fascinating to me because there's a big move on the left. They would love to see mail-in voting nationwide without a choice. Because, this voter fraud happens on both sides of the aisle. Both sides have messed around with this. But if you can turn the whole nation to go to mail-in voting, you're going to get ballot harvesting. And that's where I'm convinced that we would see a rash of abuse on the left because of Trump derangement syndrome. So the fact that Fauci came out and said this, I think if carefully done, he said, according to the guidelines, there's no reason that I can see why that should not be the case. He's talking about voting in person. Fauci told ABC News, I'm sure that wasn't popular. If you go and wear a mask, if you observe the physical distancing and don't have a crowded situation, there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to do that. Fauci added that individuals who are compromised physically or otherwise, or who are not interested in physically going to the polls, can use mail-in voting. Right. And there's a process in place and there's verification in place. Okay, great. But Fauci doubled down saying there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to vote in person or otherwise. Fauci in April, during the early stages of the pandemic, said he could not guarantee that it would be safe to physically vote. I hope so, Fauci said to CNN in April. I can't guarantee it. Now he's saying there's no reason not to vote in person. So that's good news from a political perspective. Here's one. Now let me jump over here because we had Pastor Rob McCoy on yesterday, called in from Thousand Oaks, California. God Speaks, Calvary Chapel out there. And he was talking about yesterday, because he's one of the pastors in California that's openly defying the governor's order that they're not to meet in person. They met in person last week, and John MacArthur's meeting in person. And so John MacArthur's church going on the offensive, and there was a restraining order placed this week, and then John MacArthur's church going on the offensive. That's good news. I love to see that. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the name that pretty much the mainstream media doesn't want to deal with. Canon Hinnant. Remember that name, young Canon, who's now with the Lord. And a couple other good news stories when we come back. Because you are more than I could ever dream. This world could ever see. Forever I'm discovering. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Keeping it positive today. Positive, encouraging, the Steve Noble Show. Sometimes depends on how much we're focusing on the news of the day. I always try to be positive and encouraging in terms of the fact that, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, that we're more than conquerors, that we actually can have the peace that surpasses all understanding. We actually can live a life without anxiety in terms of our mental ability and our emotions spiritually. Be anxious for nothing. It wouldn't be in the Bible if it weren't possible. But it's difficult, isn't it? And that's why on the show, I don't do breaking news and news of the day every day. I just can't. None of us needs to OD on that. But we all probably do it way too much. That's where, you know, a social media fast, stuff like that would all be good for us. So I'm just trying to share some good, positive stories today. This one on the heels of talking to Pastor Rob McCoy yesterday, who was up in Thousand Oaks, California. And he's standing up against the governor's orders there. And John MacArthur, big kahuna, down in SoCal, his church is suing California after being threatened with fines and jail for indoor worship services. This is came out yesterday in the Daily Wire. Grace Community Church, which is pastored by John MacArthur, made headlines last month when they resumed in-person assembly. MacArthur and the church retained the legal counsel of the Thomas More Society last week after receiving a cease and desist letter from the Los Angeles County threatening $1,000 fines and imprisonment. That would be for every person that shows up, by the way. That's what was going on at Pastor Rob McCoy's church, Godspeak Calvary Chapel up in Thousand Oaks. In the complaint made public Thursday, lawyers for the church argue that state and county officials are violating six parts of the California state constitution with their indefinite lockdown orders against houses of worship. The complaint reads in part, Americans have witnessed how the onerous restrictions imposed on them by public officials to allegedly fight the COVID-19 pandemic simply do not apply to certain favored groups. When many went to the streets to engage in political protests against racism and police brutality, these protesters refused to comply with the pandemic restrictions. Instead of enforcing the public health orders, public officials were all too eager to grant a de facto exception for these favored protesters. True, right? Having irreparably damaged the confidence of Americans, the Californians especially, who now realize that the pandemic restrictions are neither necessary nor good, on Sunday, July 26th, a Grace Community Church decided to resume worship services, joining millions of Americans in deciding that enough is enough. Way to go. Now again, pastors, it's between you and the Lord. I hope you're getting good science. I hope you're brave, and I hope you trust your people. So I think churches, hey, we're open. We'll continue online, but we're open. If you want to come, you're an adult, make your own decision. We'll social distance. We'll clean. But if you want to gather, we'll gather. Because where do we place our hope? In Fauci? Trump? No. Place our hope in the Lord. Not that that means you'd be an idiot, right? Grace Community Church is one of the several churches in California that are flouting state county rules against in-person assembly. Last week, Ventura County officials sued Pastor Rob McCoy, who was on the show yesterday. I wish it didn't have to come to this. I really do, but we will be violating the judge's order. We will be open this Sunday, McCoy said. And they were. And a bunch of other congregants showed up outside. They didn't go into the church from another church. They showed up and said, we'll take the fines. We'll stand out here and we'll occupy the police. And we'll sit there and we'll get the fines for you guys. You guys gather. We'll do it. We'll stand out here for you. Because we're all on the same wall, friends. We all have different places. But we're all on the same wall as followers of Jesus Christ. Here's one. I mentioned Cannon Hinnant. Okay, this is the five-year-old that was literally executed in his front yard just a couple days ago here in North Carolina. And nobody's talking about it. It's not showing up on the mainstream media like anywhere. 3 days after pressure for conservatives, this is from the Daily Wire, CNN finally covered the alleged brutal execution-style murder of five-year-old North Carolina boy Cannon Hinnant in a 218-word blurb posted early Friday morning. On Sunday night, 25-year-old Darius Sessoms allegedly ran up to Cannon while the boy was playing on his bike in his front yard and shot him in the head while his two sisters, aged 7 and 8, looked on. This is a horrific nightmare story. But at least somebody, CNN, actually carried it. That's kind of the quote-unquote good news side of this. Sessoms was apprehended on Monday, as noted by the Daily Wire. CNN, NBC, CBS, ABC, New York Times, NPR, The Washington Post, and MSNBC had all neglected to cover the attacks as of Thursday. Fox News was the only mainstream outlets to cover the tragic news. This prompted prominent conservatives to question the media. Daily Wire podcast host Matt Walsh came out. They were among the first to draw attention. In a viral tweet on Tuesday, Walsh wrote, "Say his name, five-year-old Cannon Hinnant was executed in cold blood while riding his bike. The accused killer is Darius Sessoms. He allegedly walked up to the boy and shot him dead in front of his sisters." Then Matt said this, and here's the kicker. "Reverse the races, and this is the only thing anyone talks about for a month." Because Cannon Hinnant, the little boy, is white, and the man that literally executed him is black. Now, the reality is, if the roles were reversed, you know this, it would be everywhere all the time because it fits the narrative. It fits the mainstream narrative of what's going on right now around the whole racial issue and the BLM issue, okay? Now, some other people on Facebook, when I put this story up, were like, yeah, but what about Ahmaud Arbery? I agree with you there. That should not have been information that was not being put out there. That situation, which we're not to the bottom of that yet, it looks horrific. But that should have come out, and it didn't come out until there was a viral video. But once the knowledge is there, the media gets on it. But the knowledge is there in this case with Cannon Hinnant. This wasn't hidden. And it was beginning to be talking about. ABC and stuff talked about it on the local news, but the national didn't. because it doesn't fit the narrative. But at least CNN, that's the quote-unquote good news on this, that at least they, under pressure, folded. I'd like to see the rest of them do the same. Longtime Inglewood residents push back against police reform protesters. This is in Chicago. Two more stories. All positive. This is great. Chicago Sun-Times from August 11th. Dwayne Kidd was angry and he didn't mince his words. Standing in the middle of 63rd Street, encircled by police reform protesters, thanks to my brother for sending this to me, by the way, the 42-year-old lifelong resident of Inglewood yelled, "None of these are going to be here tomorrow. That's why I got a problem." Kidd had several other longtime residents of Inglewood push back on a rally in the neighborhood Tuesday evening that was planned by several local police reform organizations. According to Kidd, residents of the Southside neighborhood were given no prior notice of the rally. He was especially concerned that Inglewood community members would bear the brunt if tensions flared up between police and non-residents. Quote, "They didn't let the community know. They didn't put flyers on people's doors," Kidd said. If they would have gotten something incited with the police, who's got to deal with it tomorrow? The community, not them. They'll be somewhere sipping sangria somewhere, I'm telling you, like it is. And he's right. The people that are being harmed by these protesters and looters and the rioting are the people that live around there and the business owners. All these people come in, they let loose hell, and then they leave. And then it's the local people in neighborhoods like this, almost predominantly African-Americans, who are left to clean up the mess. About 75 people joined the rally, which was organized by Chicago Alliance Against Racism and Political Repression, Black Lives Matter, Southsiders Organized for Unity, blah, blah, blah. If your issue is with the police, take it to the 35th in Michigan, where CPD headquarters is located. Don't come in Inglewood with it, Daryl Smith, president of the Inglewood Police Task Force, told reporters Tuesday. If the people on 56th Street want to come over and protest the police, they can do it. But no one from the North Side or Indiana or any other place other than Inglewood could come here and do that. Smith, using a megaphone, also chided the protesters directly. "This is great that the local people are pushing back. It's awesome." This is what he said on the loudspeaker. "Y'all don't come out when a kid gets shot. Y'all come out when it's got something to do with the police." Exactly. Great job. I love that story. Regular folks just trying to get by and make a living and take care of their families. Their neighborhood's getting destroyed by this garbage. The looters and the vandalizers. And they're beginning to push back. And I'm telling you, there's a whole lot more people in America like that than just these guys, Dwayne Kidd and Mr. Smith. It's awesome. I love to see that. That gives me some hope for the future of the country. Not a lot, but some. All right, here's this one. Usually on Fridays, usually before the world fell apart, I would go to a movie virtually every Friday of all the things that I deal with and teaching. I'm not going to whine, but that's my cave. That's where I can just kind of shut everything down. I'll go to a movie. But I haven't been able to do that, obviously, because of the virus. But check this out. This is awesome, except if you live in North Carolina. Sorry, not a silver lining there for us. Movie chain to offer 15-cent tickets on first day of reopening later this month. I was like, yes, yeah, this is awesome. And then I was like, oh, but I live in North Carolina with Comrade Cooper. Remember going to the movies? This is in the Daily Wire. Summer 2020 is nearly over, and blockbusters that usually hit the theaters during the dog days have been put on hold because of COVID, but one movie chain is set to reopen, God bless them, and they've got a plan to draw moviegoers back to the theaters. No, it's not free popcorn, but AMC Theaters, the nation's largest movie theater chain, will offer ticket prices of 15 cents per movie when they reopen in the U.S. on August 20. That's a week from yesterday. AMC Entertainment, which owns the movie chain, said Thursday that more than 100 cinemas will reopen, about a sixth of their U.S. locations. They're dubbing the retro prices as movies in 2020 at 1920 prices. God bless AMC Theaters. At first, the chain will offer some retro movies to go along with the retro prices for the opening day. AMC will show Ghostbusters, Black Panther, Back to the Future, and Grease, among others. After the reopening, those older films will continue to play for $5, the Associated Press reported. Associated Press. Soon after, some brand new movies will debut. The chain hopes to have most of its theaters reopen soon, unless you're in North Carolina. The remaining AMC locations will open after we get further clearance from state and local authorities, the company wrote in an email sent to AMC A-list members. That's good news. I'll take it in the midst of this nightmare we're in. But, like I said before, to end on a positive note, God is still on the throne, and he's ruling the universe with his feet up on a footstool. made of his enemies. Praise the Lord. Through Christ, I'm on that team. I hope you are as well. This is Steve Noble. It is the Steve Noble Show. I hope you have a great weekend. Maybe some of you in Raleigh, I'll see you out at Drake Circle tomorrow at the clinic where we'll intercede for the babies. God willing, I'll see you or talk to you again soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.